Thanks for coming in today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Let's talk about the oil pipeline, Line 5. It's run by Enbridge Energy, a company that doesn't have a stellar record in Michigan. Of course, they were responsible for the big spill near Kalamazoo in 2010. Are you satisfied that this pipeline through the Straits is safe?
No. No, I'm not satisfied that it's safe. I'm very concerned about it. Quite frankly, I don't even believe that it probably should be in the Straits. We should look at getting it out of the Straits, and I'm going to be focused on that. You mentioned the company's record in Michigan and the pipeline break that we saw 5 years ago in the Kalamazoo River. I think it's important for your listeners to realize that that was the most expensive pipeline break in the history of this country on land. Already over $1 billion has been spent on the cleanup from that. So you can just imagine a pipeline break in the Straits of Mackinac. It'd be absolutely catastrophic. It would the Kalamazoo break, as serious as that was with a billion-dollar cost, would probably be nothing compared to what would happen in the Great Lakes. I don't think that pipeline could survive a cost-benefit analysis. It was built prior to that time of a cost-benefit analysis. We need to take a look at whether or not we can bring that into compliance with the kinds of regulations that we have in place right now. The committee that I serve on, the Commerce Committee, has jurisdiction over PHMSA, which is the federal agency that oversees pipeline safety. They're up for reauthorization this fall, and I plan to be actively engaged in that issue and putting in the toughest restrictions possible, but hopefully we can get rid of the pipeline as well.
You mentioned compliance. Are you suggesting that the pipeline's not in compliance with the rules and regulations right now?
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't know if the rules and regulations are stiff enough and to protect what we have to do. You know, it was interesting in my committee hearing. We also oversee the Coast Guard, and I had the Commandant of the Coast Guard before a hearing. The Coast Guard would be the ones responsible for the cleanup should there be a break. And I asked him quite point blank, are you satisfied with some of the cleanup plans in the Great Lakes if there's a oil disaster of the pipeline? And he responded he was not that comfortable. That makes me extremely uncomfortable.
One of the things that's frustrating to people and to journalists is that it's difficult to get information about the safety record of this pipeline. The records are just, they're hard to get to.
Yeah.
And there are national security issues at play, I believe. Can we get more information about the pipeline safety record?
We have to. We have to get more, and it has to be interpreted data, too, not just a mass data dump. It requires to have a little bit more interpretation. We just appointed a new administrator for PHMSA. I asked her about that during her confirmation hearing with the committee. She's committed to working with us. We're in the process of doing that, and that may mean some additional legislation, and that's going to be part of what we're going to be working on this fall through the reauthorization of PHMSA. The only way we can ensure is the safety absent getting rid of the pipeline, which hopefully is our long-term goal, is to make sure everybody is aware of what's happening there.
The Iran nuclear deal, let's briefly talk about that. Do you know how you're going to vote on the president's deal?
No, I'm still weighing the all of the issues. It's a very complex issue. I've spent a great deal of time doing homework. We've had considerable briefings when I was in Washington, D.C. I've spoken directly to the president about it, directly to Secretary Kerry, and again, a number of briefings, both classified and unclassified. But now that I'm back in Michigan, I've been holding meetings with folks to hear their opinion. I've heard the opinions of folks in Washington. I need to hear what folks in Michigan are saying about it. In fact, we have been talking about it as I've been up here in northern Michigan and want to continue to get that input. But we have to make a decision by September 8th, roughly, when we come back. We'll start having some procedural votes on it. I will want to make sure this will probably be one of the most serious votes that I will make. No matter how long I'm in the United States Senate, this is a very serious issue, one that I take extremely serious. And I need to make sure I'm hearing all sides and giving careful thought and then ultimately voting a conscience.
What are the issues that you're trying to work through on the deal that will determine how you vote?
Well, it's got to be what will determine how I vote is what's in the best interest for the United States. And when it comes to non-proliferation, you know, I'm very concerned about the proliferation of nuclear technology, the ability for other states to build nuclear weapons. We have to stop that. Iran wants to enrich uranium, which you know that you don't need to enrich uranium to have a peaceful nuclear program. Under the non-proliferation treaty, there is a right for all those signatories to be able to have nuclear power. But it has been the policy of the United States that this does not transfer to a right to actually enrich uranium, which enrichment can lead down the path to building a weapon. Low levels of enrichment are used in power plants, But if you look at the world, we have 31 countries that use nuclear power. And yet I believe the number is somewhere 10 or 11 are the only number of countries that actually enrich uranium. And the ones who do enrich tend to be weapon states. They also have weapons. Iran wants to have that ability, and under the agreement, they get that ability, and it becomes legitimized. And after 15 years, they can enrich as much as they'd like, there's no reason for them to enrich to have a peaceful nuclear program, and that part is troubling.
That makes you a little nervous.
Yes.
Representative Kildee has been outspoken about an American who's held in Iran right now who has family in Michigan, Amir Hekmati. What can the federal government do to try to bring him home?
Well, we are trying, and I'm working closely with Congressman Kildee. He's been phenomenal and really pushing the issue, and I applaud everything that he's done. And I work closely with his office and with the family to try to put more pressure on the Iranian government to release him. There's some of us who are disappointed that as we're dealing with a major agreement with Iran, that it would make sense for them to show a little bit of good faith and release the four American hostages who are there for no apparent reason whatsoever, yet they were unwilling to do that. I was hopeful that the administration might ask to have that as part of a good faith effort. It did not happen. But we're going to continue to keep the issue alive, keep raising it, and keep pushing the Iranian government to do the right thing.
The 2016 presidential race is already sapping up a lot of oxygen. Have you found someone to support?
I support Hillary Clinton. I believe she will be our next president.
Senator Peters, thanks for coming in.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you. Anytime.
And you're listening to Morning Edition on Interlochen Public Radio.